All right. So good evening, Rabbi. We are continuing tonight. Actually, Emer Hashem, tonight we're going to finish the Malacha of Ma'amer. So if you remember, again, we began Ma'amer last week, speaking about, again, what's really fascinating about, I think, about some of this. Absolutely. I think what's great about, you're really getting into this. Yeah. Wow. This is okay. I feel like my COVID PTSD kicking in over here. I don't sit that close to my wife, but you know, it's not like, I'm kidding. Of course, it'd be a schos. So we began last week with the interesting discussion about the Malacha of Ma'amer. And I think, as I mentioned last week in the Shiur, part of the beauty of going through Lamates Malachas from beginning to end is the opportunity to see some of the Malachas that are a little less studied, right? A little bit lesser known. So Ma'amer, the Malacha, ultimately, again, of gathering things into a pile. And what we've discussed is the concept that the Malacha of Ma'amer really only applies, number one, to Gidulei Karka, things that grow from the ground, and specifically only applies to things, or only applies to gathering done in the mamish, in the place where the item grows. So for example, if one were to harvest wheat and then go ahead and gather the wheat into piles, so then halacha lamaisa, that would be the malacha of ma'amer. If one were to harvest wheat, bring the wheat ultimately into the silo, and then gather it in the silo, that is not the malacha of ma'amer, because that is not where the wheat grew. So a couple of more exceptions to the malacha of ma'amer, and then actually we're going to do a really interesting sugya tonight that's a little bit of a tangent. So let's begin with an Aruch HaShulchan and Ramon. Aruch HaShulchan says, you can skip really to the underlined lines, where he writes over here as follows. He says, Upashit, again, not that the first part is not important, it's all important, but it's interesting to see, we're going to focus on one specific point. He says, Upashit hu, to lo shayech Ma'amer ela bitvua uperos shelo ne'efu velo nisbashlu vegam lo nitchlu shadayim him kiniktarim ukinit loshim. So the Aruch HaShulchan brings us something which I think was intuitively obvious, but it's important that he says it, that the Malacha of Ma'amer only applies to items, food items, or items in their original form. So for example, if you were to cook an item, grind an item, somehow change the form of the item, halacha lemaisa, the malacha of ma'amer does not apply. And he says something very interesting. He says, the imlokein, if this was not the case, he aser b'shabes la'aniach kama lachamim l'makom echad, o la'aniach kama minei peros, zeh itzal zeh. So he'll say, if this was not the case, then one could make the argument that going ahead and, let's say, taking a bunch of rolls and putting them together, or a bunch of pieces of fruit, and arrange them on a platter, right, would be malacha of ma'amer. So again, it's intuitive, because the truth is, once you go ahead and you understand the malacha ma'amer only applies to something where it grew, so then lemaisa, bepashtos, it makes sense that it's only going to apply in its original form as well. But nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan feels compelled to explain this. Good. He says, Ela vaday da isra ein ela behi lakta min hasoda umin aginos umin ailonos velo kishem babayis. And I will say again, here he restates the fact that the malacha ma'amer only applies ultimately, again, in the field or in the gardens, but ultimately, again, not in the house. The kol shekein li'achar tchina va'afia u'bishon. I will tell you something very interesting that I think could be an interesting application of this. Remember, again, we had the concept of whether or not is there ma'amer, right? Imor, achar, imor. If something was piled, and then let's say, again, the pile becomes dispersed, is there a biblical prohibition to go ahead, or at least even a rabbinic prohibition, to repile it again? So I'll tell you, this could come up in a situation, again, I think it's far-fetched, but it's an interesting application of it. In other words, let's say something that was piled, let's say you do hold that yesh imor, achar, imor, and in the interim, ultimately, the object changed form, or some object underwent some other kind of change. Would there be a subsequent malacha of ma'amer? Not okay. So, like I said, quite a far-fetched case, but interesting nevertheless. So again, continuing the exceptions, ma'amer only applies if the object that was harvested is in its original state. We'll say another interesting exception. Take a look at number two. This is actually quite interesting. He says, "Mashakosav agon Reb Shimon Eider b'shem Sefer Badi Ashulchan." Listen to this. Da ose kibbutz haprochim ashonim lefi derech hayofi hu chayiv mitzad meleches ma'amer. So listen to this. He quotes Rav Badner, quotes the Badi Ashulchan, and says like this. What about gathering flowers to make it into a bouquet? And I was saying, obviously, we're talking about detached flowers, right? Because otherwise, we have an issue of kotzer. So let's say again, let's say on Shabbos, I want to gather up just already cut flowers to make it into a bouquet. So the quotes over here from the Badi HaShulchan that would be aser, because it would be ma'amer. Now, Rav Moshe Paskins, I will say, is actually very interesting. He says, good. He says, Lefi derech yofi, I'm sorry. The osa kibbutz abrachim the hashonim lefi derech yofi who chay inside melechus ma'amer. So Moshe says, lo borer zelanias daiti. I don't think that's correct. He says, the melechus kibbutz harbe shibalim la'arima, ava kibbutz haprachim, eino inyan kibbutz arima meprachim, elu kibbutz prachim shonim, sheyatimu zelaze. So Moshe says like this. What is the purpose of the malacha of ma'amer? Right? Why do you gather produce into a pile in the field? Why is that done? So first of all, it's more efficient, and what it also protects the produce, right? So there's an efficiency perspective, and ultimately, again, a produce protection perspective. Ramosha says, when you gather flowers into a bouquet, what's your purpose? What's your beauty? So Ramosha says, that's not ma'amer. Ma'amer is a utilitarian malacha that is done in order to allow logistically for easier transport of the collective pile and to protect the pile, to protect all the produce in the pile. But any type of gathering of something for beauty purposes, again, I don't know what's going to be another good example of this besides flowers, but let's say gathering flowers into a bouquet will not be the malacha of ma'amer. Okay, interesting.
Does this apply to yantif as well, since it's not a chumrah?
Does this? Yes. So, all right, when we finish Lamates Malachas in just a couple of weeks, Emir Sashem, we're going to get, don't laugh so hard, okay? We're going to get into the halachas of yantif. So the short answer to your question is yes. By malacha of yamtiv, the malachas of yamtiv, ochal nefesh only allows for non-large scale malachas. Any malacha that is normally a malacha done on larger scale, you can't do on yamtiv even for ochal nefesh purposes. So ma'amer, kotzer, these are the types of malachas done on large scale, and therefore, again, at least according to most poskim, you're not allowed to do it.
So then sukkahs, putting your wool together, sukkahs morning, gathering all the things together.
No, because it's not b'makom gidulon. Right? That's your carve out. That's your carve out. In other words, it's not, maybe going to the field, you know, and gathering, but again, bepashtos, it's on your dining room table, not a problem. So I will say, take a look at number three. Another interesting idea over here. Now we're going to get into the dine drabanan. So watch this. Also the kabetz melach, mi misrafos hamelach. So I will say, you can't gather salt on Shabbos. Now, we'll say, now, just so you should understand, the salt that he's talking about over here is a salt pool, right? You take salt water, you put it in a pool, the water evaporates, and then you gather the salt from the ground. So you can't go ahead and gather salt on Shabbos. This case is interesting as opposed to mining salt, but let's assume right now it's all the same basic idea. You can't gather salt on Shabbos. Why? Shedome l'ma'amer. Because it looks like ma'amer. Looks like ma'amer. Now, both say, let's, a little chazara. Why isn't it ma'amer? So remember again, right, correct. Ma'amer only applies to giduli karko. It only applies to items that grow from the ground. It doesn't, even though, again, I both say, that's why I mentioned, there's a whole discussion in the postgame about, what about mined salt? Right? Mined salt. Right? So is mined salt subject? So bepashtos, the postgame really agree that giduli karko really means like vegetation. It doesn't mean things that, let's say, occur in the earth. So therefore, again, the act of gathering salt together on Shabbos, says the Shulchan Aruch, is going to be aser because it is domet lema'amer. Compare, it's like ma'amer. V'chein aser lekabes kol davar mimakom gidulo. And again, in this rabbinic prohibition, we'd be gathering anything in the place where it grew, even if technically speaking it doesn't fall under the category of giduli karka. Yes.
Is this salt lake road just mentioned in the pool of water where you're draining out, or is that on the Shabbos table?
No. So remember, it's only on the ground. It's only on the ground because remember, it only resembles ma'amer if it's on the ground. Right? Or as we saw, let's say, with the case of the figs last week, in the place where items are normally piled. But the act of gathering your salt together on your table is not going to be, that's not this prohibition. So we'll say, stick with Mishnah Berurah. This is actually really interesting. And it's going to open the door to a topic that has always confounded me. So listen to this. Number four, Shedome, the Malachas Ma'amer, Hu la'asof shishibolin v'gamhu ke'ein zeh. Remember, what's the melacha ma'amer? The melacha of ma'amer is ultimately gathering stalks together. That's the melacha ma'amer. By the way, not just stalks, things that grow from the ground. V'dafka b'makom misrafo sheshamhu makom gidulo she'la melach. And it's dafka in the pool, because so to speak, that's where the salt grew. Not literal, right? But since in the pool, that's where the salt came to creation, ultimately, again, so gathering it there is like ma'amer. Listen to this. Sheshamu makum yidulo shalom alach dumya dishibalin basada. So therefore, rabbinically, it's comparable to stalks that are spread out on the field. Avam nispanzer b'makom acher mutl katzal makom acher. Steve, here's your question. But Mishnah Berurah says, if let's you have salt and the salt scattered somewhere else, there's no problem gathering the salt back up. So this is dafka din d'rabbanon in the salt pool because it looks like ma'amer. I both say, now watch this. Look at the second sif lamed vav in source 4 lema'amer ulekach aser midrabanon aval imur gufa leka de'ein imur el begidulei karko. Okay, so again, Mishnah Berurah just wants to point out this is drabanon. Right, halacha ma'aseh da'oraisa only applies to mamish items which grow from the ground, but midrabanon things which have the appearance almost as if they're coming from the ground are subject to ma'amer as well. Okay, beautiful. Another example of din d'rabbanan. Take a look at number 5. Nispazru lo peiros b'chaser. Shabbos say, watch this case. I'm holding a basket of apples, right? Right. I'm holding a basket of apples. Or for that matter, again, the apples, well, it wouldn't be good if the apples fall off the tree because they're muktzah. I'm holding a basket of apples. I drop the basket. The fruit scatters everywhere. Shabbos say, just right off the bat, is that ma'amer?
No.
I want to collect it again. So let's say I dropped it in the chatzer, not in my house, I'm sorry. I dropped it in the chatzer where the apples grew. Right? Sorry. Not growing from the ground, but it's growing from the tree, which is from the ground. Still called gidulei karka. So again,
you're never going to think an apple grew from the ground.
Remember, growing from the ground, trees grow from the ground. So even items that grow from the tree are called still subject to the same halachas, right? Even though it's not.
But these apples didn't grow here.
Let's say they did grow here. Again, it's my apple tree, my yard. I harvested it before Shabbos. Allah's gift. I'm walking with the basket. I trip. The fruit scatters. Fruit scatters. What would you say? Right. So good. Excellent. So good. So the first thing we have to think about maybe is, do we say yesh imor achar imor? So that could be a shiloh. Ultimately, again, is there ma'amer after ma'amer? I'll say, but the pashat answer, right? The pashat answer, midaraisa, is no. There's no, right? At the end of the day, there's no ma'amer over here, right? Because l'maisa, again, they're already gathered up, not a problem. So listen to this case. Nispaz lo peiros b'chaser, right? Or I will say, if you want to even make it more complicated or easier, if I want to view it. Again, as some of you mentioned, let's say these are apples I bought in the supermarket, right? They didn't grow here, right? So there's no even imor achar imor in that kind of case. So now I came back with my basket from the supermarket. I tripped. They spread all over the place over the chatzar. So the Shulchan Aruch says echad heina vechad heina, and literally they're dispersed. Melaket maat maat va'ochel. People say, what can you do? Let's translate first. He says, what can you do? You could gather it a little bit at a time, eating it while you're gathering it. So in other words, pretty much what you could do is, you could take what you need to eat. However, what can't you do? He says, "V'lo yitein l'socha sal, v'lo l'socha kupa." Here's what you can't do. You can't take the basket and walk around the yard and start gathering back all of the apples. That you can't do. He says, obviously, if like I tripped, the basket fell, but like all the apples stayed together, then that's not a problem to just put them back in the basket. But if I trip, they disperse, I can't start going around picking them up one by one to put in the basket. What I can do is, I could take essentially pick up whatever you need to eat, and essentially pick it up as you use it. He says, Ella imke naflu, so fine, so let's leave that. So we'll say, what's the problem over here? So what exactly is the issue? If I trip and my basket falls and the apples spread out. So in other words, it could be ma'amer midrabanan, kind of just like the salt type of case. Certainly it looks like ma'amer. Look at the Mishnah Berurah says in number 6. He says, "Dzehavi ki uvda d'chol." But say the problem with this is it resembles weekday activity. Kishemekamtsan v'nostan l'sochasal. So we'll say, it's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah brings down something fascinating. The act of gathering dispersed produce, even if it's not ma'amer, it's still going to be asr. You know why? It looks like weekday activity. Looks like weekday activity. Uvda dechol. Masha'enkein kishanaflu b'makom echad. Ach kishamalaktam isok. So fine. So we'll say, so ultimately again, halacha l'maisa, Mishnah Berurah says the problem over here is uvda dechol. Weekday activity. So it could also be the Tircha Yisrael. The Tircha Yisrael, again, we'll have to distinguish between those two. But right now, we'll just stick with Uvda Dechol. It's a weekday activity. Now, interestingly enough, when the Gemara Masechah Shabbos discusses Uvda Dechol, and actually, this is the paradigmatic case. Take a look at number 7. Gemara Masechah Shabbos, Tanra Baron, this Pazlul Peres Bechatzer, right? I'm walking, and my basket falls out of my hand, and the fruit scatters everywhere. So, Melaket Al-Yad Al-Yad Vocha. So we'll say that Lashon of Al-Yad Al-Yad means you could pick it up one by one. But again, essentially, you could pick up what you're going to eat. You could pick up what you're going to use. But you can't gather it into a basket. Because you shouldn't engage in activity that looks like weekday activity. So I will say, this was very exciting for me. Why? Because I will say, you know, uvda dechol, right? So again, how do we say that in the vernacular? Uvda dechol? It's not Shabbos Day. So we'll say, so not Shabbos Day is like that term that you use when something doesn't feel right. We have absolutely no idea whether it's actually Aser or Mutter, right? It's what we try to use it in the chinuch of our kids. They see right through it, right? It's not Shabbos Day. Really, I said, this is not Shabbos Day, but this is Shabbos Day, right? So I was very excited when I saw this because I want to use this as a springboard, actually, for the remainder of our year, to speak out a definition of Uvda Dechol. Because remember, it is interesting, and this is not a tangent. I'll tell you why it's not a tangent. Because interestingly enough, the paradigmatic example that the Gemara brings of Uvda Dechol, of weekday activity, is in this case of Ma'amer. Well, it's not really Ma'amer, but in the Ma'amer family. Shall I both say, what is Uvda Dechol? In other words, what falls into this category? What is the definition, ultimately, again, of weekday activity of the Dechol? So we'll say, I want to share with something with you. Take a look at source number 8. This is from the Sefer. This is in the, in the Rabbi Ribiat 39 Malachos book. So in the back, he has fascinatingly extensive footnotes. The footnotes are so extensive that they actually have it's called the Migdal David. And it's not a typo. It spells it with a yud. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's dedicated after someone. In any event, so he has an extensive discussion of this. And look what he writes. Source number 8. Vihine. This was so affirming. Vihine ikir hagidarim bu'uvdun dechol lo nisba'aru b'gimara v'rishonim. This is incredible. This is incredible. The concept of uvdun dechol, the concept of dechol is really not explained. It's not explained. What weekday activity. I want to be clear. Uvda dechol is, of course, it's not one of the 39 malachas, right? It's a rabbinic category. So he writes over here that the parameters of uvda dechol are not really spelled out in the Gemara. Bosai, remember, how many Gemaras are there about uvda dechol? One. And you just saw it in number 7. That's it. That's the Gemara of the Dechol. You're walking with a basket of fruit, you trip, the fruit spreads out, you can't gather all the fruit at once or put it into a basket. Why? Because that's the way you would do things during the week. Okay, so look what he writes. Ukimat, this is incredible. Ukimat, look at the verbiage here. Lomatsanu yadayim viraglayim lahavin ha'ingin al-barav. This is wild. Let's say, what does that mean? Literally, we have no idea what this is. Right? We know that Chazal made this category, but Chazal did not define it. They just left it so incredibly ambiguous and amorphous. Va'ayin kalkalas Shabbos, klali lamites malachas, klali lamites malachas, zirvei mascha omnam, uvdun dechol v'zel shono. Yesh mashakasa, we'll say, skip down a little bit. Actually, it's quoted. Yesh mashakasa be'geras harambam, quote, skip, de'ina perush leser kol masha ose b'chol. So we'll say, it can't be that uvdun dechol, let's be clear, it can't be that it means that you can't do on Shabbos anything you do during the week. Right? That can't be the definition. Why can't that be the definition? He says, "De'im kein lo yochal v'lo yasuv k'dar sha'oseh b'chol." Let's say because there's a ton of activities that we do during the week that we also do during Shabbos. Right? So in other words, it can't be that uvdin d'chol means anything you do during the week you don't do on Shabbos. That's clearly not true. Ella, both say this is fascinating. So the Rambam gives us, the Rambam is really the first to give us three categories. The Ella Yesh Bo Gimel Ofana. Both say here it is, last three lines in number 8. There are three potential categories or frameworks for Uvda Dechol. Number one, Dahainu. Dahainu. Im Sha'asru Chachamim Hadavar Mishum Didumya Li'achad Me'alamates Melachas. So we'll say possibility one is Chazal asserted something because it looks like one of the Melachos. That's the first definition. Like in our case, right? That's the first definition of Uvda Dechol. Chazal said, you know what? Even though this action is not a Melacha, it really looks a lot like a Melacha. Says, I'm sorry?
It looks as if.
All right, Bexy, right, correct. Right, so ultimately, again, it looks like a malacha, and therefore, ultimately, again, we're going to avoid it. That's number one. That's possibility one. O mishum, shema ayidei kach yavo lasos malacha. Possibility two is that maybe the action itself doesn't look like a malacha, but maybe what Chazal were afraid that if we let you do it, what will happen? You may come to perform a malacha. Okay, and possibility number three, omishum tircha yiseiras. Chaim was saying before. Maybe the third possibility is because it's something that really has excessive exertion. Thank you. Excessive exertion, and therefore excessive exertion, by definition, is not something that Chazal wanted you to do on Shabbos. So we'll say, by the way, like the paradigmatic example of this is like a good tircha yiseir case of Shabbos, moving furniture. Right, you decide. Right, you have the Shabbos table. You know what? The dining room would look so much better if the break front was over here. And the kid, right? By the way, those ideas never come from you. Right, those ideas often are offered by someone else. Right, you are asked to execute. Right. So I think it would look great. People say, so technically speaking, is there a prohibition to move furniture on Shabbos? Well, there could be. Right, where could there be? Right, I'm sorry. You have to lift it up, right? But also remember again, this kotzer, there could be, choresh, right? Choresh. So, okay, but assuming tonight in my house, so lemaisa, again, technically speaking, no malacha, but again, perfect case of tircha yisera. So, therefore, again, I will say, could very well be there. Category number three, or possibly number three, is what falls into uvdin dechol? Anything that has tircha yisera. So, I'll say, so therefore, again, the Rambam essentially gives three, and they're not mutually exclusive, by the way, they can all be true. Essentially, three different streams of Uvdin Dechol. Either an action that is not a malacha, but it resembles a malacha. An action that is not a malacha, but may lead you to do a malacha. Or a malacha that requires, or an action that is not a malacha, but requires excessive exertion. Okay, so we'll say, so now, if we plug this into our case, now our... Uvdin Dechol is a shavos, which means it's Tirabanan. It's Tirabanan. The challenge we have is knowing what to put into that category. And the problem is Chazal, unlike other malachas, where you could see, again, Chazal built out an entire rabbinic construct, we don't have it by Uvdin Dechol. So we're going to find, like, a lot of these things, that's why, yeah, so it falls under the category of Shavuos, which means in its Sederabana. So therefore, again, yes?
This is probably a stupid question, but why can't you solve the problem of what it looks like by doing a shinui.
Shinui downgrades severity. It doesn't take it away. So you only use a shinui when you have to do something and you want to minimize the prohibition involved, so you go ahead and use a shinui. But shinui is not like fairy dust. You know what I'm saying? It's not like shinui.
You walk, right, and you carry something, you can only take a few steps and stop and go do that. I mean,
no, you can't do that. You cannot. But if you are stuck and there is no other way to navigate the situation, you could rely on that. In other words, you can't proactively rely on that on Shabbos.
No, but if you want to bring a bottle of wine to somebody and you're walking to their house and you go, I should have done it before Shabbos, and you were carrying something, or carrying anything, not wine, anything.
So, first of all, unless it's coming to me and it's a really good bottle, right? then you put it down. You can, in other words, if you realize that you're carrying that bottle of wine and there's no Erev, and you're like, all right, whatever, I've got it already, and you put that down and you leave it, and you do not take it. You know, if it's something more significant or something that you can't put down, that's a different discussion. But you would not rely on that. First of all, it happens to you, Matt. It's an excellent question. It's not a simple question. It's actually an excellent question. And we're actually going to talk about that. But this, I think, is one of the widely misunderstood concepts about shinui, right? Shinui doesn't make something permitted. Shinui just lessens the transgression involved. So when you're stuck, you want to minimize, because I may have to do it anyway, but you cannot rely on that.
When you say lessons, does that mean you're still doing an avera?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. You want to see me after this year? We could talk it out a little bit.
Yeah.
We could talk about it. There are options. I'm sorry.
Do you moonlight?
I do whatever. I have a little booth. I have a little booth with some lattice. With some lattice set up. Yes. Yeah, so that is a very good question. So it seems to be that the stream of thought in the poskim is whatever the Shulchan Aruch brings down as Uvdin Dechol, that's Uvdin Dechol. And we do not add on anything to the technical construct. In other words, do I think that it's good in a home for a family to say, you know what, okay, this is mutter, but it's not in the spirit of Shabbos for us. Do I think that's good, like on a family by family, on a chinuch level? Sure. But from a halachic construct, the potency is going to say, we're going to see, by the way, there are examples. Well, remember, ball playing could really have muktzah, and remember, again, you also have a potential choresh issue, thank you. Choresh issue. So, right, but I'm saying, ball playing could really actually involve, like, significant Isurei Doraisa. So I wouldn't use that as an example, right? Maybe if you live in a city that's totally paved, there's not one piece of grass, you know, then maybe ball playing is relegated to like a different level. But if you live in grassy areas, ball playing is, I think this is also commonly almost say, people think that ball playing is an issue of like, it's not Shabbos day. No, you really may be quite literally treading upon Isurei Doraisa. I'm sorry? So riding a bike is a potential issue of Maki Bepatish, or a potential issue of Bonish, Shemi Yitakin. So again, Chevra, we're going to, let's, good. This is exciting, again. But we'll see. So the simple answer is, we're going to go through some examples right now. What do we do riding a bike? It's Smichas Chavar. All right, we'll come back to that. All right, so now, kind of plugging this back. So now I understand the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch says, I grab a basket of apples. I trip, the basket of apples, you know, spreads out everywhere. So what's the halacha? I can gather them one by one to go out and consume it. What can't I do? I can't go out and gather them all up together in my basket. Why? Uvdu dechol. And I will say, if you think about it again, number one, it looks like a malacha, right? This is actually an interesting case. It looks like a malacha. Number two, it may lead you to do a malacha. And number three, it's Tircha Yisera. So it's just interesting to note that this, which makes sense, this is the paradigmatic case, this case is what kind of gives birth, you know, births these three different streams of thought in Uvdu Dechol. Okay, so once we're on it, I got very excited about this because once I have said it was very validating. I always felt like there's something fundamental missing in my knowledge base, which there is, but like to me, Uvdu Dechol, I never really was able to like put it together. Like what is, I know example, I was, so it's very validating to see this footnote to essentially says, we don't really know. We can't find our hands or our feet in this. Chazal gave us such little information, yet we know that it is a category that exists. Well, so let me show you some other examples. Take a look at number 11. Just, these are totally unrelated, but they're interesting. Asur ligrag vina b'shabbos b'moreg. Oh, sorry, I skipped. Number 9. Mutter lach toch basm avushal tzli dak dak b'sakis. What else are we going to get to this? One of the interesting malachas we're going to have is tochein. Tochein means grinding. means grinding. Salach lamaisa. Now, what is quite little? Where is grinding done? You take wheat, or for that matter, some amount of herbs, and you go out and you grind them in. You grind them up to either to make the dye or to make again the flour for the lechem upon him. Shabbos say along the malach of tchina. So the Shulchan Aruch says what? But you are allowed to, let's say, take a piece of meat and chop it up finely. Now, Bosa, we're going to see, by the way, the Shulchan Aruch chooses meat because, let's say, this is actually, again, coming attractions, making, let's say, an Israeli salad, finely diced Israeli salad on Shabbos could be a true halachic problem because tochin applies to items that grow from the ground and it means cutting them up very finely. It doesn't apply, let's say, to meat. Right, because meat is not gedule karkos. So you want to take a piece of meat, you want to cut it up, you want to make like a pulled beef, you want to go ahead and cut it very, very finely. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. That's not a problem. Misakin. So the Mishnah Berurah, so take a look at number 10. Mishnah Berurah says, Asur lachtoch, de'ein tchina, and lo begedule karkos. Very simple, because the malach of tochin of grinding, only applies to items that grow from the ground, and meat doesn't grow from the ground. Servosai. Now watch this. Based on this, if I were to ask you, right, you're having cheese on Shabbos, right? Now, if you're having cheese on Shabbos, you need to, after Matt finishes with me after the shir, right? You need to come with me also, right? Again, no excuse for that, even on a long Shabbos, you know, unexcusable, right? Milchik says no place on Shabbos, at most Malava Malka, at most, and even then, begrudgingly. I would say, so based on what we just learned, if you're having cheese and you want to use a cheese grater on Shabbos, can you use it? What would you say? The pashtos. Yes. Why? Why? Because again, remember, what am I doing? I'm grinding something up, but it's cheese. But it's cheese, right? So cheese ultimately, again, right, be careful with your finger. Yeah, this is not... Hey, don't do it blindfolded. You should look.
I'm
sure that's the only reason you don't do it. So the maisa, bepashtos, using a cheese grater should be absolutely fine as well. Because remember, again, the only issue involved will be tochein. But lemaisa, again, there's no techina, there's no grinding by non gidulei karka. So interestingly enough, take a look at number 11, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Aser ligra hagvina b'shabbos b'moreg charis ba'fifios shikor. Okay, you can't use a cheese grater on Shabbos. Why can't you use a cheese grater on Shabbos? Mishnah Berurah says in number 12, dechevan shakli miyuchad lakach harezed derechol. So this is fascinating, right? This is fascinating. So Mishnah Berurah says, no, you can't. Why? Because it's uvda dechol. It's uvda dechol, right? This is vidami. Now this is interesting. Vidami l'shchikas tavlin b'machteshas. Shabbos say, see, here's what's fascinating. Remember, uvdin dechol has to do one of three things. Either it has to go ahead and look like a malacha, it has to go ahead and potentially lead you to a malacha, or involve tircha yisera. Tircha yisera doesn't really seem to apply over here, right? So really, what are we worried about? So the Mishnah Berurah says it looks like the grinding up for spices. So that could be srikas samimonim. So again, grinding up of spices. And grinding up of spices ultimately, again, is malach of tochein. So using a grater, using a kli, essentially, it's a distinction between using a knife. In other words, you could take the same block of cheese and cut it up into very small, thin shreds, right? But yet, you can't use the grater to do the same thing.
It's more
tircha, right? It's more work. It's interesting. It's more work to do with the knife than it is to do with the grater. But since the grater is a kli hamayucha lakach, it's a type of ours, it's a utensil. That is, so therefore, again, uvda dechol. Again, I'm just giving you examples. Take a look at number 13.
But what about like the cheese?
A slicer is fine because that's like a knife. That's like a knife. Yeah, this is about the shredding of it. Remember, that's why he says it's domen l'schikas tavlin. It has the appearance ultimately. Yeah, I don't know. It's, okay, whatever. Assuming that it operates like a knife, it'll be fine. But let's look at number 13. Another example of this. Again, I just want to show you, like, to a certain degree, it's not that the malachos of uvda or that I should say malachos. Not the concept of uvda chol is random, but it feels a little random. Like, in other words, we have the cases that the halacha brings down, and they're just interesting. Now, once you say it, it makes sense. Like, in other words, okay, I got it. I shouldn't use a cheese grater. And by the way, it's not just a cheese grater. You have to obviously the same thing would apply ultimately again to a potato grater. But a potato grater is a much bigger issue because remember again, potatoes are gidule karka. So potatoes are actually subject to tochein. Okay, so we'll say, let's take a look at number 13. This is just another interesting application of uvda dechal. Again, I just thought these cases are fascinating. He writes, Amrav Huna, hai tabcha delo sar sakina kamei chacham shimsham tinalein. Both say, the Gemara Mesechus Chulin says, shochet has to show his shchita knife, his chalif, has to show his shchita knife to the Talmud Chacham in the city. Right? As a shochet, you have to present your knife before the Talmud Chacham of the city for inspection. For inspection. And if you're a shochet and you don't do that, you know what happens? Cherem, excommunication. I mean, shamta. V'Rava Amar ma'arinole, Rava says, we remove him from his position as a shochet. U'machrezinan abisra detrefehi. Wow. Right? So we'll say, so it's pretty intense. So Rava says, halacha l'maisa, forget about excommunicating him. He loses his job, and ultimately we declare that any meat that he shechted is a trefa. Okay. Now what's going on over here? Excuse me. Take a look at number 15. Rashi says, why do we excommunicate him? Right? So I understand that we want the Talmud Chacham, I will say, no, the halachos of Shechita. Remember again from our Daf Yomi days, in the last segment, Masechet Chulin. So there are many different things that could passel a Shechita. And one of the things that, of course, could derail everything is the smallest nick in the knife. So I understand the need to go ahead and want to present it and have someone else inspect it. But the notion that you're going to put someone in cherem and potentially make them lose their livelihood and declare everything they shechted a trefa, it sounds pretty intense. What's the pshat? So Rashi says over here in number 15, skip to 15, Rashi says, Misham timalei mishum af kirusa shehechtzif panov kidekaimelon. So we'll say, so listen to this. Shehechtzif panov. What's hechtzif panov? I'm a chutzaf. It's chutzpah. It's a lack of derech eretz. You're supposed to show your knife to the Rav of the city, Talmud Chacham of the city, and you did not do so. That's chutzpah. And therefore, again, kedekai melon, menadin al kavod harav. So we'll say it is considered to be such an affront, and such a slight to the Rav of the city, that ultimately, again, we excommunicate such a person. We'll say, you know, it's just interesting that sometimes we think that, like, chutzpah is just a bad nida, right? It's not just that chutzpah is a bad nida. We'll say chutzpah is the worst midah. It's the worst midah. Again, for those of us, Baruch Hashem, who have children and trying to raise our children, I'll say, you know, I'm always a big believer, you should really give your kids a pass on most things they do wrong. Because the truth is, they don't really rise to the level. The one thing that it is so important for a parent to have zero tolerance on is chutzpah. Because chutzpah, even the smallest amount of it, ultimately, again, so easily amplifies and grows into such negativity. Chutzpah to a parent, chutzpah to a sibling, chutzpah, zero tolerance. Zero tolerance, my children know, whatever grade they get, as long as they try. But like chutzpah, so they make sure not to be chutzpah dick when I'm not looking. And, you know, that's, but Lamaisa will say, so it's just interesting to see how you see over here that, like, what did the shochet do? He was a mechutzaf. It was mechutzav, a chutzpah. You're supposed to show your knife to the rabbi of the city. You didn't do so. Okay, we excommunicate you. Take a look at number 16. And I was thinking, what does this have to do with Ma'amer? So it has nothing to do with Ma'amer. It has nothing to do with Uvda Dechal. I just got so excited to find, like, the opportunity to speak on Uvda Dechal. So I was take a look at number 16. Tabach. Shelo heres akina lechacham b'nim tseisyafa hayeminadin osa. So we'll say, listen how Shulchan codifies the halacha. If you have a tabach, he's a butcher, a shochet, who did not show his knife to the Rav of the city. Now we'll say, now what's the good news? It was found, the knife was fine. B'nim tseisyafa, minadin osa. We'll say, even if your knife is totally fine, the shechita was totally good, still going to excommunicate you because it's a chutzpah. Hagavim ninseis paguma minadin osa mavirin osa. Okay, b'nim tseisyafa, Yachal ha'chacham limchal v'nasarach l'ndoso. Okay, fine. So we'll say, skip to the third line. Says the Rama, v'ha'idna. Now watch this. The Rama says, but everything is different now. How is it different now? Nogu limnos anoshim yiduin ala shchita v'abedika. So we'll say, this is fascinating. From the Rama's statement, you begin to see that really, during times of the Gemara, it's almost as if, like, shchita was an unregulated industry. So what do you do in an unregulated industry? So obviously, if you know the person, you trust him. So one of the ways in which they kind of ensured quality assurance by shechita is you had to bring your knife to the Rav. Right? You would show it to him. Now, Beparshas, when you're bringing your knife to the Rav, what is the Rav going to do? What is he going to do? So tell me a little bit about, you know, what method do you use for Shechita? How do you deal with Hagrama? How do you deal with Alka? So he's going to feel out the guy a little bit. And Amos says, now, Shechita is a regulated industry. In other words, not every butcher. So I said, that's why it's interesting, but if you notice also, the Gemara doesn't call the Shochet a Shochet. What does it call him? A butcher. Because, so I will say, which is interesting, right? Because today's day and age, a Shochet and a butcher are two different people, right? The Shochet is the ritual slaughterer. The butcher is the guy who's carving up the meat. So it's interesting from the Gemara's perspective, it was one-stop shop, right? In other words, everybody was doing their orders. If you're the butcher, that means you know how to do Shechita. So that's why you have to regulate everything more. So the Ramah says, now, va'idna, nagu limnos anoshim yiduam ala Shechita v'abdika. So now, both sides say, now, we have appointed people, shochtim, people who are appointed over Shechita and bedika, people who inspect the animal after Shechita as well. V'lahem machlu chachamam kivodam, kihem zihirim uzerizim. So both say, and now, what's interesting is as follows. The Rav of the city or of the town, there's a mechila. There's a mechila. The Rav says, it's fine, you don't have to bring me your knife. He doesn't even have to say it. It's kind of like a built-in mechila. Since we assume that today the people doing shechita are trained, it is now a regulated industry. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, you don't have to come to the Talmud Chacham. He says, fine. So say, now here's what's interesting. Take a look. So that's the halacha. That's halacha b'osei. Now, watch this. Take a look at number 17. Rashi Maseches Be'er. It's getting exciting. Look what he writes. He says, "Ma'u laharos hatabach sakin lachacham biyomtiv livdok." So b'osei, now remember, you're allowed to shecht on yomtiv, right? Ochel nefesh. So do you have to bring your knife to the chacham on yomtiv? She'etilu chacham al tabach l'maros sakin lachacham kodim shishchidushim behema u'ma'u lasos kein biyomtiv. Are you? Do you need to bring the knife to the Talmud Chacham on Yom Tov? Mi mechzi k'uvda d'chol, d'av shamil s'shadayta limkar ba'atlis, olo mechzi. So Rabbi said, listen to how fascinating this is. Just see, you see how uvda d'chol is like thrown around, not thrown around, but is applied in so many different ways. Rabbi said, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that if you bring the knife to the Talmud Chacham on Yom Tov, it looks like uvda d'chol. Now Rabbi said, now why does that look like uvda d'chol? Right? So you can't tell me that what? You can't tell me that it looks like a malacha. Why? Why? It's not a malacha. It's not going to lead to a malacha because it's not a malacha. Right? What's the last piece? Tircha yisera? None of that. So Rabbi Rashi said like this, what are we concerned about? Remember, Rabbi Sai, most shechita that's done is done for what purpose? It's done for what purpose? Commerce purposes. So the question just is, does it have the appearance, when you bring your shechita knife to the Talmud Chacham on Yom Tov, does it have the appearance that you are engaging in commercial activity? That's the Uvda D'chol. Now, I'll just quote to you number 18, just because of the time, I'll just do it outside. In number 18, the Rambam says, that's not the Uvda D'chol. The Uvda D'chol that we're concerned about is, maybe the Talmud Chacham is going to tell you that ultimately, again, the knife is not good. And what are you going to do? You're going to sharpen it. Now, sharpening the knife, ultimately, again, is Maki B'patish. Magash, that's a malacha. That's malacha, right? That's significant stuff. So it's interesting over here. So both Rashi and the Rambam are both intrigued by this idea about is showing the knife to the Talmud Chacham on Yom Tov Uvdo D'chol. Rashi says the Uvdo D'chol is, it looks like maybe it's for commercial purposes. The Rambam Uvdo D'chol, you may actually come to do a malacha. How do we paskin? Just interesting. How do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch number 19. Ein marin sakin l'chacham b'Yom Tov. Liros imroy lishchot bo shematia peguma v'yomer lo asra lishchot ba mimnei pigimusa v'yelech v'yechad dena b'mashchezes. So what's that? Shulchan Paskins halach l'maisa. So we don't show a knife to a Talmud Chacham ultimately again on Yom Tov. Now, so what are you supposed to do? Just to show him the knife before Yom Tov. In other words, the goal is to go into Yom Tov with a checked knife. Now again, halacha l'maisa, look what he writes over here. Skip down a little bit. He says, "V'achshav bizman hazeh shekol shochet ro'a sakin basmo." Now remember, 19 links back with number 16. But now that halacha l'maisa, every shochet, right, we don't really take the knife to the Rav anymore. Every shochet checks his own knife. Kol harotzeh lishchot b'Yom Tov, yivdok sakino me'erev Yom Tov. So we'll say, now watch this. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, check your knife before Yom Tov. Every shochet check their own knife. What happens if the shochet did not check his knife, right? And let's say, again, there's no other checked knife in the city, then what? Halach l'maisa, you could check it out Yom Tov itself. See, here's what's interesting. Remember, since the whole issue with checking a knife on Yom Tov is what? Is uvda d'chol. Right? Because either it looks like commerce, or you may actually come to go at. So therefore, again, if there's another competing, compelling need that offsets the uvda d'chol, ultimately, again, it becomes permitted. So now again, first of all, mazel tov on finishing ma'amer. Shkoyach, this is the end of malach. I know, it's sad to go. It's sad to leave ma'amer behind, but we're on to bigger and better things in Yiratz Hashem. So we're going to finish that with ma'amer. And I will say, isn't it exciting? We also, by the way, learned the entire sugya of the Dechol. By the way, that's it. I'm not holding anything back. That is the entirety of Ovda Dechol. But at least, again, I think what we emerge with is that three-pronged understanding from the Rambam. I will say, also just one last thing. I think what we're going to do, I just made audible. I called it audible, which is that the first, there's no shir this coming Monday. No shir this coming Monday night. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make the first bechina on the first three malachos of Choresh, Zoreya, and Kotzer. So it's going to cover the first three malachos. I'm going to get it to Yiratz Hashem by tomorrow. I just have to add in the Kotzer piece. So it'll be on that. And then Yiratz Hashem, you'll have the rest of this week and Yiratz Hashem next week, if you want to do that. I mean, whatever. If you don't feel that you can, fine. It's all right. Whatever. It's gone. Right. But the mice again, it's a thorough, but very, nothing tricky about it. Short answers, everything short answer. My only request is, please don't write, just type. Partial phrases are fine. It's just mamish, supposed to be a chazara, and then Amir Hashem, the next bechin will pick up from ma'amer and on. All right, Tavosai, shkoyach.
Thank you for hearing
me
share
with
the umbrella.